In the time it takes you to listen to this ad, almost 3 million gallons of water will have flowed over the deck at Niagara Falls. And when that deck needs to be protected from all that water, it's sealed with America's recognized brand and water protection, Thompson's Water Seal. Oh, look, another 100,000 gallons. Weather protected, water sealed. Thompson's Water Seal. Trust the seal. Available at a retailer near you.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this March 20th. First day of spring, 2022. And boy, do we have a lot tonight. The title of my message tonight is A Heartbeat Away from Hell. A Heartbeat Away from Hell. Now, in all of my sermons, I do my best to try to apply the Word of God to current events. It's hard for some people to try to associate past history and recognize the way that it is. Well, it's repeating and reoccurring. As Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. And a very, very good example of that would be, as we've talked about here before, what is happening today in America with these bioweapons that they're calling vaccines. They're using this to depopulate the planet. They're killing people off. This is genocide, what's taking place. And what is happening, what they're doing, these bioweapons are changing the DNA in people that have received the poisonous poke, changing it to it's no longer actually human DNA. And they're not even denying that, Big Pharma. So now, when did that ever happen again? Well, it happened 6,000 years ago during the flood, when we saw that the fallen angels violated God's law. And, you know, one of the teachings that people have out there, which is a false teaching, they teach, well, Jesus said that that angels could not take women as wives, that they had to be celibate. They couldn't do that. But what they fail to understand, what Jesus says, in heaven, They say that in Genesis 6 that they were talking about Seth, the sons of Seth. No, it's not that, okay? You see, those angels that were cast down out of heaven were not cast down to earth because they obeyed God, but because they disobeyed him. And if they didn't obey God in heaven, do you think they were going to obey him down here? And so they violated God's dominion. And by that, we had offsprings that were not quite all human. They were less than human because of the, as you might call it, DNA. And so here we've seen history repeat itself so many times in so many ways. And so here I want to just, you know, to emphasize, a lot of people don't know it. The vast majority of people out there that listen to what they call mainstream media, they have no idea just how much they're being lied to. The mainstream media is not going to report anything negative about Big Pharma. Big Pharma that pays their bills. Big Pharma literally owns these stations. All you have to do is see who's advertising. And that includes Fox News. You're not going to hear them saying anything negative about Big Pharma, and as long as they're paying this huge advertising dollars. Well, folks, again, here, there's been a huge increase in deaths over the last year. And we've reported on that several times during the week. Now, the source of the content of my sermon is the absolutely, positively most reliable document that ever existed. And it's been handed down from century through century. And that is what's in my hand right now, and that's this King James Bible. It's the inerrant word of God. God said he would get his word to us exactly the way he wanted, and he's done that. And so here, I have the most reliable source, that ever existed. Now, we're going to talk about hell tonight because the title again is A Heartbeat Away from Hell, and people are literally dying to get there. And there are more people going there than ever before. But what is hell? Is hell a place or is hell a thing? Well, if we take a look at in the Hebrew, we see the word sheol for the word hell, and in the Greek, the words Hades. But in both of them, the Hebrew and the Greek, it means the grave or death. Well, what is actually death? Real death. Death is the separation from God. Death is being separated from God. And so here, we're living in a day where death is becoming ever more commonplace. Because again, the wages of sin is death, and the practice of sin right now today, not just in America, but in the world, is greater than it's ever been, ever. We see today pastors are busy preaching funerals and burying people, and the funeral homes are backlogged. I've been talking to pastor friends of mine, and they're telling me, I can't believe how many funerals I'm doing. And I'm one of those. I did six of them in 8 weeks. And, well, no, I want to make that. I did five, and I attended another one in 8 weeks. And so here, again, we've never seen anything like this. And so I want to turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. For all this, I consider it my heart even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean. To him that sacrifices, to him that sacrifices not. As it is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth has he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. And there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men, full of envy and madness in their heart while they live. And after they go to the dead, for to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward for the memory of them is forgotten. And all, and their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is under the sun. And so here, what are we talking about here? Well, once you're dead, you can't do the good that you should have done or undo the evil that you have done. Now, the dog was the least revered animal in those days. The dogs were despised, the most despised, and the lion was the most revered animal of that day. And as he was saying, that you'd be better off to be a live dog, because as long as you're still alive, you can maybe undo some of the damage, and you still have an opportunity to do what you should do and make recompense for the evil that you've done. But once you're dead, even if you're a revered lion, there's nothing you can do. Now, here, as long as we, what he's saying, as long as we're alive, we have the chance to change for the better. Now, here, it wasn't until Jesus actually raised himself from the dead that the resurrection, a new life, was really understood. Now, here, Solomon, you know, and again, there's a difference between what he's talking about the body going to the ground. And what is the dead? Well, he says we all have one thing in common, that the righteous and the unrighteous, the good and the evil, and that we're all going to die. But there's a difference there. To the righteous, to those that are saved, the minute they die, then they start down the road of eternal life. They start living all over again in eternity, where that's not the case for the wicked, the unsaved. Death literally is the absence of God. And so here, Solomon seemed like he was vague in the concept, but now his father, King David, he understood it very well when he had said that when his son had died, when the Lord took his son because of his sin, and David had fasted and prayed, and then when the boy died, he got up and got dressed, and the servant said, "What's, you know, hey, you know, the boy's dead, aren't you going to fast and mourn?" He said, "No." He said, "It's already over. Now, he can't come to be with me, but I can go to be with him." So David understood about eternal life. And so here, when we take a look at hell here, hell is not a place, but it's a state of being for the lost dead. Hell is a separation from God and is death. Hell is, as taught by Lord Jesus, a state of torment and suffering, a state of torment and suffering. And so I want to take you now to Luke chapter 16. And it's been a long day for me, so I'm a little slow tonight, but I can get there. Luke 16. And I want to start in verse 19 and read through verse 31. Now there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great, great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to thee cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they should also come unto thee in the place of torment. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. And so, here, I wanted to take a look at there. There are those today that are teaching that the annihilation theory, that the wicked will be just simply, there is no eternal hellfire. The wicked will simply be burned up and turned into ashes and simply cease to exist. There is no suffering that they'll simply, well, of course, what we just read here tells you, well, that's not the case. Now, here's one of the problems and their errors that they misunderstand. As Jesus said, you do error in not understanding the scripture, and they fail to separate the body from the soul and the spirit. And we'll take a look at that here as we go over. And I want to look at some of those here as we go over to Ezekiel chapter 28. And in Ezekiel chapter 28, we read verses 18 and 19. Now, they build an entire doctrine, well, on this verse and just a couple other verses that really don't, that are taken out of place and misunderstood. And here it says, thou hast, now he's talking about Satan. He's referring to Satan here. And he said, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, and in the sight of them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, and thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now here, what is he saying? Is he saying that he's going to cease to exist? See, angels and humans are eternal beings. They go out of existence. They don't ever go out of existence. They change form, and they change real estate. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking about Satan losing his power and his position and all of his physical attributes. What do we mean? Well, let's go back. Let's go up to verse 11 here. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. Now, here, the king of Tyrus is Satan. If you start in verse 1, where it says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. Now, the prince of Tyrus was Ethabel the third. And he was the grandson of Baal. And actually, I believe Ethabel the third was the nephew of Jezebel, the nephew of Jezebel. And so here now, more of the Lord, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, that's Satan, and saying to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, and the workmanship of thy tabourets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee. Now in that day that thou wert created, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So anyhow, he's making a point that Satan was the most beautiful and the most powerful creature that God had created. He was the most beautiful and the most powerful creature that God had created. Now, here, remember, there are those out there today, another one of the heretical teachings out there is that actually Satan, like God, did not create the universe, but Satan, like God, was created by the universe. There are those that have a false teaching. Instead of God creating the universe created God through billions and billions of years, and through billions of years after God came into existence, he became all-powerful. And then billions of years later, the universe created Satan. And by the time Satan arrived, God was omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, and that God had convinced Satan that he had created him. That's what some of these people out there actually believe, folks. And that is absolute and complete and total foolishness. It is just absolute lunacy. But, well, you know, that's what's out there today. It is what it is, as they say. And so now here, what is he saying here? Let me go on. He says, Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee, and by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as out as a profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, in the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou wast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I was cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Now, here, when he says, Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, in the sight of them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people will be astonished at thee, and thou shalt become a terror, and shall never thou be any more. Well, in other words, he's not saying that Satan is going to be annihilated and cease to exist, but what he's saying is he's going to lose his power. He's going to lose all of that beauty that God had given him, and all of that power that he had will be gone. No more to be able to rule over the fallen angels and rule and cause all the agony and pain that he's caused upon this earth. And so here, in fact, let me go over to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, we read, in Matthew chapter 13, we read, starting with verse 36 through 41. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. You see, they weren't a little bit confused about what he was telling them. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of thy kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world, that the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let him hear. Now, what is he saying? Well, today, for example, the church is full of people that have a profession of faith, but it's a false belief. Jesus said that many, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. Jesus said in the last days, Lord, Lord, in thy name did I heal the sick, did I cast out demons, I did all these things in thy name. Well, they did it for themselves and for their own glory and not for God. And the Lord will say to them, Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. You were never about me. You were never about me. Remember what Joel Osteen's wife said. She said, It's not about God, it's about us. And this is not about, folks, you couldn't be more wrong than that. God created us, we didn't create him. Mr. Nietzsche had that all backwards when he had said that God created man in his image, but now through science and technology, man is going to return the favor and God will be what man says he is. And then he had made another statement. He said, My brethren, that God that has so long tormented you has now died. Well, no. God's alive and well, sitting on his throne, but Nietzsche's dead. Well, let me move on here. I want to go now over here. See, if you notice something here when he says, let me go back. Therefore, the tares are gathered, burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace. Now listen, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, folks, if they were simply burned up, and if they were simply annihilated, turned to ash, and ceased to exist, there wouldn't be gnashing of teeth, would there, and wailing. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Who hath ears, let him hear. And so here now, the torment takes place again after they're cast into the lake of fire. And I want to go to now to Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, starting with verse 7 through 15. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Then shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the whole earth and encompassed the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints above, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, does that sound like annihilation? Does that sound to you like they simply burn up, become ashes, and cease to exist? No. Now here, again, let me read this again. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, Gog and Magog symbolize the forces of evil that fight against God. In fact, if we take a look at Noah's son Japheth, had a son, and his name was Magog. He was Noah's grandson. His name was Magog. And here we see that Gog is going to fight against Israel over in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Now here they symbolize the enemies of God. They symbolize those that fight against God. And so it doesn't mean it's the very same, obviously, when we read over here in Revelation about Gog and Magog, okay, but it's they symbolize enemies of God is what they symbolize here. And so now, here, we see that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now, all of those who were not saved were raised up in corrupted bodies. All of those that weren't saved were raised up in corrupted bodies. Those in death represent, or those in death, and by the word, remember what death means. And death means separation from God. And hell, what did the Lord Jesus said that hell was a state of being in torment. So hell is a state of being, and death is a state of being, separated from God and in torment. Now, all of those, as we take a look, we're going to see here. And let me go back and read this again. And he said, and the sea gave up the dead, those that were separated from God, that which were in it, and death and hell, those that were in torment, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, the lake of fire is a physical place. It's a physical place that has a location and has fire and has brimstone and sulfur in it. And so here, again, that is a physical place, the lake of fire. But now, death and hell, those are states of being, one separated from God and the other in torment. Now, like in the days of Noah, men's heart were wicked continuously. In fact, in Matthew 24, verse 24, the Lord Jesus tells us that the deception will be so great that if it were possible that even the very elect, we're talking about mature believers, indwelt with the Holy Spirit would be deceived. Well, that time is here today, folks. I got to tell you, There are many, 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 many out there that have the profession of faith, but they don't have the discernment. They don't have discernment. There are those that run, and they've taken the poisonous poke. They didn't have the discernment given by the Holy Spirit to understand that these are bioweapons. And there's so many other things that they don't have the discernment to understand. They don't really understand that those that are a friend of the world are the enemies of God. And so here, this nation that we're living in today, it was founded by people who had a sincere desire to have the freedom to worship and to serve God in accordance with their sincerely held religious beliefs. Well, today, those same people in America, they're hated by the world. The world hates us because we're called by His name. We're called by Christians. And they hate Christians out there. Well, we see that the apostate church hates us. We see that what they call the mainstream media hates us. We see that the Democratic Communist Party hates us. We see that everything that is called, we see Hollywood hates us. Everything out there today, which is called the world, hates us. They hate us. I want to go over to James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, and in verse 4, we read this. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship to the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, it's got two applications. One application, when he's talking about adulterer and adulteresses, is the spiritual, meaning they've gone whoring and committing idolatry with the world. But the other is the sin of adultery, the sin of that is sexual sin that's practiced today in abundance. And so here, when we take a look, where we see Satan's children practice abortion, sodomy. Again, let me read that again. Know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God, and whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And today we see, I had to, I said and watched as on Fox News, the anchors on there, okay, how they were congratulating two lesbians for the fact that they were able to adopt a baby. I mean, they were saying how wonderful this is. Now, these are professing Christians. And you see, they're showing how isn't this wonderful? Well, folks, God is immutable. God has not become politically correct. He hasn't changed His laws, His stature, one bit. And God says to be a lesbian is an abominable thing. It's an unclean thing. And God said that children should have a father, which is a male, and a mother. And you see, but you have these people that are professing Christians that are biblically illiterate. It's like, well, you know, we know or we've heard that the Bible teaches this, but times have changed, you know, and God's got to come and He's got to learn to adapt to the way things are. No, God's not going to adapt, folks. God is not going to conform to this world. But when you look at these people, again, they are some very deceived people. These are exactly the people that the Lord Jesus was referring to when he said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. And these are exactly the people that have the profession of faith. And Jesus said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, the hardest people in the world to witness to are people that have a false sense of security. That somehow think, some of them think they were saved because they were baptized. I actually remember years ago, while I was in the military, two young recruits, when they asked them what their religion was, they said, well, we were born in America, so we must be Christian. And they believed that. They didn't know any better. So now here we see that Satan's children, they practice abortion, which is murder. No matter what they said, I don't care if you call it legal. God has ruled abortion as murder. God has ruled abortion as murder, and all of those that have committed abortion have murdered a child. Now that's what God's word says, folks. Sodomy is an abomination. Lying, stealing, killing, these are things that God hates. These are sinful things that God hates. Bestiality, adultery, fornication, idolatry, hypocrisy, prostitution, false witnessing, cannibalism, corrupt politicians, corrupt judges, dirty cops, lying, fake news media. Boy, is there a problem with the fake news media out there today. Hollywood whores, transgender. Well, you know, there's these things now today. Remember, I've often said that if the Democrats could invent a new sin, if they could come up with a new sin, they would adopt it the very next day and it would be in their platform. Well, here there are some things that out there just maybe I'm just catching on to this, but I don't think that's the case because I asked in the church, how many people have heard of this thing they call cuckolding? And nobody knew what this cuckolding was. What this cuckolding is, it's when you have very effeminate, perverted men who like to watch their wives have sex with other men. They like to sit and watch as their wives have sex with other men. And also some of them like to be humiliated by their wives and their fornicating partners. Now, this is what they call cucks. And doing that, the practice is called cuckolding. Now, there's other things out there today. Well, one of the things that they're talking about is called hot wives. These are married women who go out and have sex with whoever they want, any men they want. Now, it was interesting because they were interviewing three of them, and they said, okay, who are you, or what are you? And the one said, I'm a hot wife who has an open marriage. I'm a hot wife with an open marriage, okay? The other one says, I'm a one that has no, I'm trying to think of the word to say, oh, no sexual boundaries, without any sexual boundaries. In other words, I have absolutely no boundaries for me. I can do whatever I want sexually. And the third one was the one that was the most honest. They said, well, okay, what's your definition of hot wife? And she said, we're whores. We're whores. And she was actually right. They're whores. You know who said that? God says they're whores, right? And so here, now, if you combine all of what I just said, and you add child sacrifice to that, what do you have? You have satanic worship. You have satanic worship. That's what you have today, satanic worship. I want to go to Psalm chapter 9, over in Psalm chapter 9. And in Psalm chapter 9, And I'll get there in a minute. Been a long day, folks. And so, here in Psalm chapter 9, I want to read just one verse. Verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Again, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. When I opened the meeting, the candidates' night meeting here a week ago yesterday, I opened it with a prayer. And my prayer was to God, and I quoted this verse. And I said, America has forgotten our God, but God, you have kept the remnant, and we're here tonight, the remnant. And we have not forgotten you. And we're asking you, Lord, Father God, we're begging you to send us statesmen, not politicians. Send us statesmen. And Lord, I said, we've sent people to Washington time and time again, only to be betrayed. Only to be betrayed. And Lord, send us leaders that will lead us, not stab us and bleed us. And I prayed to that effect, that God would send us righteous men to lead us. And so, you know, often, sometimes when I get asked to open in prayer, I'll have somebody maybe remind me that, well, you know, there could be a lot of Jewish people, a lot of Muslims out there, who knows, and this is a political event. In other words, what they're telling me is don't open and don't say we're gathered here today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, don't open that way. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If they don't want me to open that way, they should pick somebody else, because that's how I open. Because I'm a Christian, and those, as we gather, we're together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and petition God. And so here, I want to go over to Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah chapter 5, we read, and I appreciate, folks, people keep asking me how I'm doing. I'm still not back 100%, and like I've been told, people that have had what I had, that strain of what I had, that I have, will have sometimes a cold or a cough. Now, I got just a very little cough, but sometimes they say that cough will go on for a couple months, and I hope that's not the case. I had a similar situation the first time I had that a couple years ago, and I had it for a couple of weeks, but I'm hoping I don't have that again. And so I'm back, you know, we're back at it. And so here in Isaiah chapter 5, I want to read verse 14 through 16. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, does this apply to America today? Verse 14. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp and that rejoices shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Now, there's going to be an extremely rude awakening for the oligarchs. You know, I just sat back and laughed when I heard Jobama Biden, when I heard him say that it's those rich Russian oligarchs, they don't care about the people. Those rich Russian oligarchs. You talk about hypocrisy, folks. This country is filled with oligarchs, And guess what? It was the Russians and the Ukrainians that made Hunter Biden and Daddy Joe so wealthy. They got paid millions and millions, and along with Red China, they got a lot of that Red Chinese money for selling out America. All they had to do is sell out America, and they have no problem with selling out America. Like Hillary and Obama, remember Uranium One? They're so worried. They seem to be so worried about the Russians and nuclear bombs, and yet they sold them all of the uranium they needed to make nuclear bombs. The hypocrisy is astonishing. It's just astounding, folks. Now, these people here are oligarchs in this country. They're very wealthy. The Bill Gates, the George Soros, the Mark Zuckerbergs, all the Bidens, the Clintons, all of these oligarchs here are in for an extremely rude awakening. The filthy rich who feel that they are above the laws of God, and they're going to find themselves to be no longer the minority of rich and powerful pleasure seekers of this world, but they're going to be a part of the tremendous amount of masses that are swallowed up by hell's enlarged mouth. They're going to be swallowed up by hell's enlarged mouth. And so here, I want to go over to Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew chapter 25, we read, starting with verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand." Now remember, all through Scripture, the right hand refers to righteousness. The Lord Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. David will sit at the right hand of the Lord. And you'll see that over in Ecclesiastes 10:2, it says that the wise man will turn to his right, but the fool will turn to his left. And then remember when the Lord was up on the cross, the thief on his right repented, but the thief on the left he didn't fare so well. And here's the reason, because it tells you right here. It says, "Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we with thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me." Now remember when Obama, back in 2008, when Obama was running, they ran those commercials. Actually, I think it was, 2008. But they ran these commercials, and it was called the Religious, the Matthew 25 Coalition. They called themselves the Matthew 25 Coalition, the Religious Left. And they were making a mockery. What they were doing is they were playing off the biblical illiteracy of people. And you could hear these women saying, "You see, he's a religious man. He's a Christian." They're quoting from the Bible. They were clueless. Okay. And so when I heard that, I said, "Well, you know, I think I'm going to give him a hand. I think I'm going to explain to people what they're actually saying out there." And so I picked it up here, and right here in verse 41, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. And in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not to the one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. Remember how the left today, the left is very generous with other people's money. They're generous with other people's money, with other people's freedoms especially, but not with their own. It's called hypocrisy, and now we saw what happened at Yale University when they tried to have a forum. They had the speakers come in to talk about free speech, about our First Amendment. And you had these communists, you had these overprivileged, unthankful, ungrateful, spoiled little wet-nosed brats. You had them out there trying to cause a riot, trying to disrupt the meeting, because they don't think that you should have free speech. They think that they should be the ones to decide what you can say and what you can think. Well, I got news for them. They're in for a very rude awakening. And here now, he's telling them that those are all those, and by the way, they're all sins of omission. Those are all, and the Lord Jesus preached more on sins of omission than he did sins of commission. Now, add to those sins of omission, for one, obedience and serving the Lord, prayer meetings and Bible studies, you know, and God gives us the three missions out there. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, I would never have an abortion, or I would never commit sodomy or whatever, but then they don't do anything for the Lord. They don't do anything for the Lord. And he created them to do things for him, to serve him. And here now, so, you know, the three main missions that the Lord gave us. One, the Great Commission. The Great Commission, that's not a suggestion. He said, get out there and do it. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then, resistance to tyranny. God's word, the Bible, is very, very clear from Genesis to Revelation. It makes it very clear. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And then, number three, when he tells us we are to hold to the traditions of the prophets, stand fast and not give up our ground. Occupy till he comes. You see, now, again, in James 1:22, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. Now, I want to read you this here again tonight. This is, many of you heard about Jonathan Edwards. And in 1741 in Hampton, Massachusetts, here's what Jonathan Edwards preached, which this today, this, and in fact, I think I'll repeat this. He said that hell is everlasting wrath. It would be dreadful to suffer this fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. One moment, but you must suffer it to be to all eternity. There will be no end to this exquisite, horrible misery. When you look forward, you shall see a long, forever, boundless duration before you, which will be swallowed up by your thoughts, and you will absolutely despair of ever having any deliverance, any end, any mitigation, any rest at all. You will know certainly that you must wear out long ages, millions and millions of ages, in wrestling and conflicting with this almighty, merciless vengeance. Folks, what are we saying? Tonight's the night for you to call upon the name of the Lord if you haven't, and repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life without any reservations. Until tomorrow, good night, God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the voice of the Christian resistance. What's right, what's left.
hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.